Devin and Morgana have been celebrating midlife love by getting married 100 times in 100 countries. They believe grown-up love gets better and more fun, especially for women. Everyone's smarter, wiser. Men are more relationship-ready. And if they're not, it's obvious. Forget anything you were told about being too old or too late for love and adventure. Instead, get fresh new tips on dating, relating, and travel to exotic destinations. And best of all, call in for personal guidance, creating crazy, sexy midlife love in your life.
Hello and welcome. My name is Morgana and this is my husband, Devin.
Indeed.
And we have another episode today for you with an exciting guest, especially for anyone who has felt like you failed too many times or you're too old or any of the nonsense that is thrown at us as human beings constantly our whole lives. Our upcoming guest is just an absolute negation of all of that, living proof that love just gets better and better and life gets better. So what's going on with us, Devin?
Well, we have just started doing a new podcast on Clubhouse. Do we have Clubhouse fans here yet? We launched that. It's now going to be Saturday at Pacific Standard Time.
No, Sunday.
Sunday at 10.
Sunday Pacific at 10,
Standard,
right.
Pacific Standard Time. And we talk all the different kinds of ways that we can help writers and authors get from a place of being podcasters themselves, like what do you need to do, how do you need to do it, as well as being a guest and sometimes being both, which is something that I've had the good fortune to do, is be a podcast guest many times over, as well as interview people, as well as just kind of do my own thing in terms of podcasting. And so I think it's a great resource because there's so, I mean, here's what surprised me. Most writers, I believe, and this is just my humble opinion, is that so many writers just, they want to write. But there's this other component that, you know, you have to put yourself out there in other ways, in consistent ways, so people can see you and they can start learning about your message. And that was probably the biggest takeaway for me this week. We had a guest, Vicki Winterton, who I'm a huge fan of.
She's a publisher.
She's a publisher.
I think she has brought 1,700 authors to bestseller status, including taking Devin's book to bestseller, which I think
she
is
did.
Looking
she's,
backwards on.
She's
screen.
A total rock star. She's great. I absolutely love her. And one of the things that she was talking about is that it's less about sort of the books. Like, it's important to have book sales. Yes, we want to sell a ton of books. But really, the larger picture for most of us, because, you know, I wrote my book not expecting, did I hope to be the next Stephen King or Nora Roberts? I did, but it didn't happen. And that's okay. The book did fantastic. But really what was important to me is getting out the message of the book and about relationships between parents and children and how we cope with loss and love and loving people that are incredibly confusing at times. And so,
and what to do when you lose your father's ashes.
That's right. I can always count on my wife to go straight for the punchline before anybody knows the setup. So well done, my love. And so, but yes, so anyway, that was much what our podcast was about, and we're going to be doing lots more.
Yeah, it's Podcasting for Authors, a room on Clubhouse, sponsored by Club Pod. It's about using podcasts to increase your sales, build your platform, build your brand.
And get your message out.
Yeah, and get your message out as an author, get on other podcasts. And then Wealth with Love and Integrity is about wealth with love and integrity. So if that interests you, that club has rooms on love
and
money. Well, integrity is the through line. I just, after focusing on relationship with money for decades, obviously, as you can tell through this radio show, I'm really interested in love too. So I wanted to create a vague enough Clubhouse room that I could talk about anything I care about. So sometimes we do love. I think this week The Saturday at 10 a.m. Pacific time room is going to be high enrollment tickets with integrity, like how to charge $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 with integrity, being a good person, harming none, making it win-win-win, if that's something that is interesting to you. So that's enough about what's going on with us this week. We have the greatest guest today, and I think it's time to jump over to bringing our guest on and welcome Perry Jones Grossman. So this is one of my favorite human beings in the world, like beautiful inside and outside, so generous, such a supporter of other women, and such an example that it doesn't matter if you have failed at marriage before, and it doesn't matter if you are of a certain age, and it doesn't matter any nonsense you've been told. You can to oh oh and you can win at money and love. The best example in the world. Really, I love her to bits. And you know, she's got all this professional stuff as a coach and as a national speaker and leader for preventing suicide, and her degree in spiritual psychology and her background in television, and it just goes on and on and on and on. But we're bringing in Perry Jones Grossman. Perry, thank you for joining us tonight.
Oh, you guys, I love you too. You're the most inspirational couple I ever known, and I just adore you both. I wish, though, I could see you more because when I was going back and forth to LA, I at least got to see you a little bit. So, Zoom is the next best thing.
Yeah, well, we're getting closer. We're getting closer this year. This year, I believe we're going to be able to see people in person safely. So, what did I want to say starting? Oh, before we went live, we were talking about how you, measuring love and your life partner by his willingness to dye hair.
Oh my God, it's so true. I mean, Morgana, you know what a perfectionist of image that I've really had to get over, right? And particularly in love relationships, because I was a kitty. I would never share a bathroom, I would not share a toilet, I would not share space. I mean, I had to have my own thing and hiding out, or I didn't want them to see my beauty secrets or whatever. Anyway, so when COVID hit, my boyfriend moved in with me. We thought this COVID thing would be over in about 6 months. We didn't know. And I noticed the hairline of my hair was getting grayer and grayer and grayer. And it was like 4 inches, right at the top. And I thought, oh my God. So I called my colorist. This is when we were on lockdown, the very beginning. And I said, you've got to help me. She said, well, I can drop off a little cup and a brush and some color, but you're going to have someone help you. And I thought, the only person that can help me is my boyfriend. So I really dove in and I said, honey, can you please help me cover my gray hair? And he looks at me and says, what gray hair? I thought, okay, this is a good guy. But he took painstaking time for about an hour just to get it done. So I learned a lesson. Boy, you just share so much and share everything and you get closer. And if they don't do it, by the way, then maybe we ought to trade them in, right?
Well, then you get to know. I mean, honestly, I think part of that deal is, you get to find out what it is that you don't want. In your case, it sounds like he passed the right test of being of service to the woman he loves. So I think it's a learning experience. I think a lot of people are learning through this
Well,
whole COVID experience.
I so agree, but let me ask you something, Devin. From a man's point of view, does a man really want to know his woman's secrets, beauty secrets that she does, like coloring her hair, doing eyelashes, sun tanning stuff? Do you really want to know?
I don't think we care, if I'm honest with you. Like at some point, if I was, and I'm going to assume, like, I love my wife, we're not going anywhere, but if I was out in the world and that was of high importance to me, right? As I myself, as my beard is getting gray, as that's taking place, if that was that important to me, then really, who do I get to date? I get to date 20-year-old people. And that's an option, I suppose,
Sure.
but it's not an option. It's not an option for me. In other words, do I want to date and be in a relationship with somebody who who is, so if I make a Brady Bunch reference, do you know what I mean? If I make some weird, you know, hey, do you remember, you know, Hoss from Bonanza? I think Morgana would say no.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, okay, at least there's a thing that we can communicate on. In other words, you know what I mean? We can reference the 60s and go, oh, yeah, you know, there's a piece. Yeah. So I think the whole beauty secret thing is really much more about how do you feel confident carrying yourself in the world,
right?
I going out into the world, like my wife is much more likely to see me in a ratty robe, at least during COVID,
I know,
than anything else. So that's my beauty secret, is that normally I'm putting on a shirt,
yes,
and clothes.
Right.
So I think we're all doing this kind of thing. And I think part of that, you know, one of the things that I frequently, like when Morgana and I get married, there is a quote that I use from a guy who's usually considered to be one of the most ridiculous people in the world, a guy named Aleister Crowley. Look him up on Google. He's a nut. But he said something that I frequently, when we have our weddings and things like that, his line is, a man has two faces, one that he shows the world and one that he shows the woman that he loves. And I think that is a really critical component. Part of the relationship thing is that you're not really, your job isn't really about putting on airs to the same degree. I mean, maybe to some degree, like I want my wife to think I'm a great guy and all that stuff.
Of course.
Right?
Authenticity. It's the authenticity.
Right. But she gets, not only does she get that part that I'm really trying hard, she also gets the unvarnished piece. Yeah. Right. And I think so. That's part of it. In other words, I'm sure your guy gets that there is just this element of age and maturity, and as part of the human condition, which we don't change. My guess is that he already gets it.
Right.
And so the beauty secrets that you think are covering up are just part of the face that he is privileged to see.
Right. I love your choice of words, the privilege that he gets to see. And by the way, it's probably going to be my turn to help him with his gray hair. It goes both ways sometimes.
Well, it does.
This reminds me of, like, for years, Devin didn't see me without the makeup, especially because we didn't even live together until a year into our marriage. So I could always dress up.
Right.
And there's this level of intimacy and safety in the relationship where I'm now he sees the stuff I never would have let him see before. And the gray hair is just the least of it. Like,
right.
Makeup, that's just for this show.
Right.
And he loves me anyway. Wow. Who would have thought?
You know, it just brought to mind when you were saying this, I'm not sure I ever really had unconditional loving in a relationship. I was so worried when I was younger of wanting to look perfect, be perfect, so I could be lovable. And that was training from childhood, you know, with my mother. If I acted a certain way, did a certain way, and I performed a certain way, then I get to be loved. But if I was a bad girl, misbehaved, or I said something wrong, or I said a cuss word, or I looked raggedy, or whatever, it was always brought to my attention. And so I thought that's what love was. And now, as Devin says, I get to experience, which was something I really wanted in my life at 63, to experience this wonderful, unconditional loving from a man who adores me no matter what I look like, no matter if I have zits on my face, no matter if I say, you know, the F word 10 times in a day.
should I prepare myself?
And that I just feel so accepted. And that's the gift of it now at my age is, and I believe it didn't happen with a man until I learned to accept myself first. When I could look in the mirror and I could see those things that were imperfect and say, you know what, girl, you still got some game. It's all right. You're good. You're lovable. Oh my God. When I said it first, I think is when I became the magnet to meet a man who was like, oh, he's just mirroring what I'm feeling about myself.
I am so glad you brought this up because where I was going to start the show before I got distracted by hair was, so where you are in this happy relationship right now is not where you started, especially not when you and I met in, I think, 2013.
13? Yeah.
So one of those. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Not at all. I mean, you remember you're talking to someone. Now, see, you guys did it differently. You married each other 20 times or so. So I married and divorced 4 times.
And to different people.
To different people. And it all goes back to what I was saying, who I was choosing and why I was choosing them. I felt like the more successful they were, the more flashy they were, more exciting, then if that guy loved me, then I must be lovable. And so I was a late bloomer. I didn't learn how to really love myself until I was in my 50s, truly. So I was 55 years old. I remember the year that it happened, and it was like a big light bulb that came on. It was just like, wow, I don't need to get married to feel lovable. I don't even need to be in a relationship to feel lovable. I learned, and it sounds kind of weird, but I learned to fall in love with myself. And I used to think that was a very selfish thing. You know, what do you mean putting yourself first? That's not right. South Texas girl, you know, you're raised to put everybody else first. And it was the first time I finally, after a lot of learning, realized when I learn to love myself first is when I'll attract the right man and take my time doing it.
There's a line that is water seeks its own level. And it's this idea, and at least it's been my experience, that based upon where I am and my own spiritual development, my own relationship to myself, seems to, when I go through my own history, which, you know, I've had my own sort of like, it didn't go as smoothly, like we didn't meet in high school and we're still together. It wasn't that thing. But I think what it ended up happening was, is that I had to have relationships that would help sort of steer me into a place. And sometimes it was incredibly unpleasant and incredibly painful, where I had to be gently nubbed and sometimes backhanded in order to get into that place where I could start thinking more in terms of how do I get right with me in order, you know, in other words, I had to start embodying the things that I wanted from somebody else. I had to be able to give those things in order to be in an emotional and spiritual place in order to receive those things. Is that sort of something that's similar for you?
It so totally resonates with me, Devin. I remember I started working with this dating coach, you know, Lauren Francis, Morgana knows her.
I know her too.
Devin, you know, okay.
I've known her for 25 years.
Oh, you have? Oh my gosh.
That's hilarious.
She helped me really define the difference between my needs and my wish list of what I wanted in a partnership. And I remember giving her my list and all the stuff that I said I wanted. She asked me, she goes, so I have a question for you before we move forward. Do you offer the same traits? And it took me back. It was exactly what you said. And I thought, wow, do I offer the things that I'm asking for or that I want? And, you know, there was some little messiness in there I needed to clean up. But I did. And I learned so much about not just what I didn't want, but what I wanted. Because I could make a list of, you know, through past experiences of what I didn't want, but what was really important to me. And the thing, the one trait that came to the top of the list of what I needed, what I really needed, was an emotional mature man. And that trait wasn't even on any of my list. But after we worked together and a lot of deep questions and a lot of, you know, thought-provoking questions and answers, I found that was the most important. Didn't matter really how tall he was, what he looked like. It mattered more about how did I feel around him. And I also learned I needed a soul partner because most of my life was pretty tough. I think I was one of these souls that said, all right, bring it on, you know, early on. And
good on you.
The universe just goes, okay. And, you know, had 9 lives. And it's just gotten easier now in my 60s. And it was love, was one of the tougher things for me. But what I came away with is so rich. And, you know, what I tell women all the time, there's not a knight in shining armor. There is not the flashiness, the very things that you think that you are attracted to, but you're not really having great relationships. Look at that. Why are you attracted to the shiny things? Why don't you become the shiny thing? You know, and that's that love, that self-love and self, it was like a love affair that I learned who I was. I mean, you guys, I remember when I was married all those times, I didn't even know what kind of furniture I liked. I didn't even know what kind of architecture I liked. I didn't know what kind of dishes I liked because I was such a chameleon of being a woman, of saying, well, what do you want me to be? Because I was so starving for love.
I think it's a really intense thing. And I think it's a process that everybody has to go through, at least if you're like us, where we have to work at it a little bit. I would say that when I was sort of in my 20s and certainly into my 30s, there was a component that if I'm with this fantastic person, at least if I believe you will be impressed by her, that on some level somehow validates who it is that I am. And now I'm worthy of your respect, your love, your appreciation.
And I want to point out that this people pleasing, which was so painful and came at such a high cost, also kept you alive, because you mentioned difficult mother, difficult childhood. And then you went into an industry, you went into Hollywood, which is all about what do you want me to be? So yay to you for being so resourceful and adaptive, and yay to you for recognizing when these behaviors had outgrown their usefulness. Mm-hmm. And you took action to let them go.
I think you're right, Morgana. I think, you know, that's why I do a lot of work with my clients. We talk about childhood, you know, and it's so funny because some of them will come in, oh, we're going to go to my childhood. It's like, yeah, because you still have a woundedness inside of you that is an old perception. And we all create survival skills, right, to be able to survive in your environment or what you think you need to survive. And those things go away as we grow and we unlearn and we detox and we, you know, clear those things up as we move along. And, you know, each decade represents something new in our lives. And I'm grateful for those times. I look at those challenges today. In the moment, they were very fearful and they were excruciating. Some of them were really excruciating. And as I look back now, I always say, and I learned this at USM, you know, this is Earth School. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. So these were all just human experiences and challenges that I called in so my soul could grow and advance. And I almost feel, and you know, Carol Allen, great astrologer.
She's been on the show twice.
Oh, so you love her, and I'm sure all your listeners love her. And she did a reading for me because of you, Morgana. You said, you need to talk to Carol. And I attended a workshop of hers, and she did a reading about a year ago. And this is, actually, no, it was longer than that, 2 years ago. And she said, I'm reading your chart. I don't even know how you're alive right now. She said, but all I got to tell you, because I don't see too many charts like this. She says, but from 60 on, your life is so blessed. She says, like money, love, it's all coming. And it's almost like spirit just said, well done. Well done. And that's what I wish for everybody, is when we can release that victim mode of ourselves and really embrace the empowered woman, the empowered goddess that, like I learned at your Bali retreat, there's so many tools and techniques out there and amazing teachers that can put you on the right path. So you learn who you are and what your purpose is on this life.
I'd like to go back to when I met you in Bali. You arrived like a day early and we had lunch, and it was my first time meeting you in person.
Yes.
And you were going through your divorce at that time. So you're in a very, very different place. And what you've told me about that process after our work together just impresses me so much. Would you share how you approached the divorce after Bali?
Yes, I will. So this was my last divorce, last marriage. Up to this point, I'm still, you know, still believing. The father of my children, and his family is a very prominent family. They were very successful. You know, it broke their heart when their son and I broke up, and their two grandchildren. And my kids were young. They were 7 and 9 when we split. And I was married to someone who really didn't like a woman having her own voice. Now, you got to remember, when I got into that marriage, I was in a very vulnerable spot. I was after my suicide attempt. And so instead of me taking that time and healing, I met this man who was amazing. And we're great friends today. To be taken care of. And he helped me a lot. And I have these two amazing kids because of this man. But when we separated at first, it was very prominent. He had 10 lawyers. I had one. You could tell where this divorce was going. And remember, I had no voice, no voice. And I knew something was really in the inside of me very wrong. And I'm not even sure, Morgan, how I found you. I think it was a friend that sent me your stuff. And I started listening to your teachings. And I remembered, you know, I hadn't worked in 20 years. So I didn't have a nest egg. I had zero money. And I knew I needed to get some help. And I knew you were the right one. So you accepted me to come into Bali. And I remember it was a large amount of money. And I was like, oh, my God, how am I going to get this? Well, where there's a will, there's a way. And universe provided it. So I went because I'm worth it. Back then, I might not have been able to say those words, but today I could.
You told me that somebody asked you to do something to, I think, review a script and make a recommendation.
Right. And I said, yes. And I said, well, you know what? I'm happy to do that, but I'm going to charge you a fee. And it was, I almost threw up on those words because I hadn't been in that world in so long, and I was shaking, and I was, you know, and then it worked, and I was like, oh, wow, okay. And I did come to Bali. I was very broken. And I loved the study of the goddesses. And so Morgana gave me the goddess Hecate. And she's the one with the dogs and the torch. And she's the one that's all about boundaries, strong boundaries. And I just remember the part where you said, and I read about her quite a bit, you know, it's like her dogs, if one person did one thing over her boundary, those dogs went and killed that person. There's no second chances, third chance. First time, off with their heads, done. And I thought, wow, can I really do that? But I had to learn to do that. Had to learn to fight for what I needed and wanted in my life and my children. So it was a miraculous week. I remember coming back home, meeting with my attorney. I was a very different woman. And because before I'd say, no, maybe you shouldn't do that because I really want to be friends, you know, with the grandparents, and I want to be friends with my ex and mom. And he just looked at me and said, I don't think that's going to happen. I said, well, I'd like it to happen. Please, maybe can it happen? Instead, when I came back, I was like, no, you're going to make it happen. And whatever you need to do, throw a bomb in that whole mess, you go ahead. I don't care about hurting their feelings or hurting anything because my boundaries have been tromped on, completely tramped on. And so have my children. So this Hecate came out very boldly. And basically what it was is that I not only got what I needed, but what I wanted. But I had to speak up for myself and speak it for my children. And that's the only way that you get it is when you feel you deserve it again, right? And you ask for it and it will happen, but you have to have that belief. So I learned that lesson very quickly. Today, my ex and I are the best of friends. We co-parent together. His parents and I are like my parents, but they respected me. They respected me. And because I respected myself, and this goes back to that mirror imaging you were talking about, Devin, you do receive from other people what you present. So I had to learn, and it shifted so fast for me in Bali. When I came back, I was able to do it. And that was the beginning of me really doing the inner journey and really healing and becoming a coach and a writer, you know, author, and all these things, because I found my voice. And I owe that completely to Morgana and her work. And by the way, Devin, you guys were just dating then, so I got to hear a lot of juicy stuff today.
I'm sure there was probably right. some juicy stuff
yeah,
going
was
on.
Great. When you would text her, calls, like, no, don't do that. I shouldn't say that. But she loved, oh my God, Morgana's face lit up every time she talked about you. And I thought, oh, I want that. And here we are now.
And now you have that. But he wasn't the first one.
No.
You had to go through another test.
I did. I, you know, decided.
And I'm so glad you're sharing this, because if anybody looked at you, you look like the world is handed to you on a platter, because you glow. Your default is so kind and warm and friendly and happy, and you're beautiful. And so thank you for sharing this really vulnerable stuff so that
we know
that you're human and you're like us.
Oh my gosh. You know, there's so many women out there that are hurting, and men too. And I truly believe in pay it forward, because when we are a community of souls together, we learn from one another. And if we don't share, we don't learn. And I know there's so many women that keep things secret. Oh my God, if they knew this about me, they would think this, or they would talk badly about this and that. And what I learned through this inner journey, when I released my secrets, I healed. What I thought was going to be the most horrific thing that people found out about me actually turned out like the suicide attempt. I never shared. That was 25, 26 years ago. I would never share that with anybody. I just shared about 2 years ago. And that's how I started getting into the work of helping teenagers with suicidal thoughts. I did a TED talk, but I still didn't tell the truth of why I was doing the work I was doing. And so I've learned to tell the truth, and you learn from one another. So telling the truth about men in my relationship life and all the things that you're talking about too as they unfold. You know, I felt like I had a pretty good just grasp on who people were. I'm really an empath. I can sense people. But there are some people that are really professional that are so good at deceit. And I warn women about this. I met a guy, and it goes back to me liking the flashy things, right? Very handsome guy. Came after me like I couldn't believe it. I was running Sun Valley Wellness Festival at the time, heard me speak, and came in just like a train. And I hadn't really dated anybody that made me feel so alive in a while. He was 10 years younger than me, even better. But you know, there were some red flags. He wanted to move very quickly. Within about 3 months of us dating, he asked me for $20,000. You know, it was one of those things. Well, I'm in my business. My deal hasn't closed yet. I could use some help. And, you know, I would really love it if you could help me. And I thought, wow, this guy is so cool, but this is really interesting. And I said, no. And he was like, what? I said, yeah, no, I don't do that. I don't give men money. Because in my heart, it's like, I'm not going to give you something to be loved. And there's a lot of women that I found out that he hadn't even met on Facebook, but he knew how to talk to women. He knew how to, you know, speak in their ear. And they also had that need and desire to be loved. They fell for his words just like I did. And so I had women contact me after they saw that I broke up with them and all this stuff. And they said, oh my God, will you please call me and talk to me? I gave him $20,000. I said, have you even met him? No. I said, oh my God. I met 6 women. This guy was so good. They gave all this money. And it's because he's a bad guy. It's not good. But even more importantly, it's that women want to be loved so badly. And they want to hear those words in their ears, and they want to hear the, even if they're false, from somebody like that. But they want to be loved so much that they give away money, they give away their beauty, they give away whatever because they want it so much. So that's why I talk about it, because I want to tell women, do not be deceived by flattering words. Find out who this person is, you know, do more research. And it also goes back again to your own self-love. You know, listen, if I'd listened to my intuition, I had dated him probably about 5 months. But if I'd listened to my intuition and followed those red flags, it would have only been 2 dates. 2 dates.
You know, I think it's also what you bring up is incredibly important. And in talking about it, the way you're framing it, and this is the way I kind of understand it, is that when we talk about it, what ends up happening with me, and I'll just talk from this standpoint, that for quite a long time, if I didn't tell you the truth, it's because I wanted you to think something about. But more importantly, when I tell people the truth about a situation that I'm emotionally invested in, if I'm emotionally invested in the results, I'm much more likely to make a poor choice. So it's really important. It's like doubly important for me to talk about that thing out loud. So somebody else who's not emotionally invested, like I have friends, they don't care if I'm single. They don't care if I'm married. They love me. They're on my team, right? So I can trust their opinion to see the truth much more easily than I can when I'm wrapped up and enmeshed in this thing. And if I don't get what I want, I'm going to die, right? I'm falling into a fainting couch. And so I think it's really important to have that ability to keep saying it out loud over and over again, because you're going to help other people. And you're also going to hear yourself. You're also going to hear yourself. Like I have a friend that I call up and he does one of two things. He will say, wow, that sounds like a horrible idea, which I really love. And the other piece is he'll just start laughing while I'm talking, which, of course, I'm infuriated. How dare you, you know, how dare you do this to me? You mock my pain. But part of the reason why he's laughing is I'm actually now hearing what it is that I'm saying. I'm hearing the like, oh, right, that makes no sense. Like, while I'm thinking that makes no sense, he's laughing because it's just absurd. Even though, like, because I want the thing, I want the brass ring, I want this thing that I'm supposed to get, and I deserve it, and all that other stuff. But it's what do I give up? What do I lose in order to get this thing? And sometimes it's my humanity, and sometimes it's my core of who it is that I'm striving to be. And so that stuff can go away, you know. I think the universe has a way of saying, are you sure you want this thing? Are you sure you want that person?
Yeah, Devin, it's such a great question that you shared, because that is a great question to ask yourself, especially when you're longing and you're like, you know, you would do anything, and it's so important. It's like just to take a beat and ask yourself, wait a minute, is this truly in the highest good for me? And maybe in the highest good of my family? Because some things that we hang on to, we don't want, and we're, you know, holding on to them so tightly. Those are the things to say, let's take a look. Open your hand, really look at it, and then look at why you want that. What's the reasoning? You know, take that beat. I had to learn that the tough way in relationships. I knew eventually, and it sounded very trite when I first started doing the work, you know, 35 years ago with Robert Bly and Pat Allen. Do you guys remember Pat Allen from LA? And I used to think, I just want to meet somebody that just loves me so much, you know, no matter what I do, what I don't do, whatever, because there was a lot of abandonment from my mom. And then again, it was a woman like you were talking about, Morgana, you know, people will look at me. Here I was on E! I was on Entertainment Tonight. Everyone thought, wow, you know, she's got it all. But it was performance. That was my, you know, Wonder Woman juice, was to pretend well. And they thought they knew me. I mean, I had people stop me in grocery stores and all this stuff, and they thought they knew me because I was a personality on television. But it was not even close to who I really was inside, which was a woman who was filled with a lot of pain, a lot of angst, a lot of low self-esteem, and didn't feel loved. And that's who I really was. Mm. So when I left LA and I came to Idaho, you know what was so weird?
It's that you're in Idaho?
I'm in Idaho. Right, exactly.
So beautiful.
I've heard great things.
It's so beautiful. But this is okay, this is something I'm not so proud about. But it was a good lesson. And it was the beginning of the unraveling of the onion. So, you know, 20 years I'd been on television. So people knew me, you know, and I was used to getting the attention because I loved it, right? Made me feel loved. And I remember moving to Boise, or Sun Valley first, and then later on Boise, where, you know, I call him my baby daddy now lived. But I remember going out to places. Nobody would look at me or really care. They didn't have any idea who I was. And I realized how wrapped up I was in this fake Harry on television, but nobody was feeding into it. And every once in a while, oh yeah, I remember seeing it, you know, once in a while. But I remember I used to introduce myself as, you know, Perry Jones and, I used to be on TV. I was so pathetic. I mean, it just makes me sick when I think about it right now. But it was like, I had to sit there and tell people for like a year, well, you know, I used to be on E! Or I used to be. And I thought, oh my God, you sorry ass girl, what are you doing? You know? And I just stopped myself and I went, oh man, we need to just get all of that stuff off of you and figure out who you are, Miss Jones. Who are you? Because I didn't have the faintest idea. Not the faintest.
I think so much of that has to do with being younger. I think that you are like carving years, maybe decades off the learning curve for like coming generations of women with the work that you're doing. I am so grateful that you shared your story about the guy, because a very easy reaction is, oh, you know, I have my own sociopath story. It's like, oh my God, how could I have, you know, fallen for this? What does this say about me that I attracted this? Blah, 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 blah. So what are the positive lessons that you took from that experience that made this great relationship that you're in now possible?
That's a really good question. I think what I had to take a deeper dive. And I did ask myself, why didn't I trust that intuitive voice, that inner voice, that wise sage woman that I have inside me? But why around men does she not show up? Why did I become 6 years old again? And that's what I was talking about, the mother wound, because that's who showed up with men. Love me, love me, love me, right? Not the, you know, 45-year-old woman who's like, oh my God, that guy's a train wreck, stay away from him. So I had to learn why I was attracted to him. I had to learn why did I believe him when I knew he wasn't telling me the truth. But why did I keep looking the other way? Why did I keep doing that? So I had to get very truthful with myself. And I didn't like what I saw, quite frankly. I was not proud of myself. But, you know, I'm not going to be the victim in that. It's like, okay, lessons come up. Let's look at them. You know, no spiritual bypass. Let's figure out what this is. And it was about me, again, loving myself. And I know it sounds so simplistic and we hear about self-love all the time, but particularly for women, it's such an important component of all the decisions you make in your life. And I took that elevator down even more. You know, went down that rabbit hole. Said, let's look at this. We got to look at this. And I didn't date for almost 2 years. And then that's when I met Lauren. And I said, which I believe in coaches and anything and everything, because, you know, when you're so close to something and you don't know that you don't know, well, get with somebody who does. So I hired Lauren and I said, I'm making really terrible choices. I need to figure out what I'm doing. What's going on? What are my beliefs? So we spent more time working on me rather than what I wanted to in a relationship. We worked on the relationship in phase two, what I wanted. But the first phase was getting me healed.
Well, and I think the biggest thing that I'm taking from what you're saying is it's really easy to love yourself when you're proud of all your choices, right? But to love yourself when you see the worst and you see your mistakes and you see the stuff you're ashamed of, and to love yourself anyway and love yourself enough to heal and move forward, that is real self-love.
Well, and you know, I got to talk about this one thing with that, with women, that's aging. So another secret I had is I never shared how old I was, or if I did, I lied. And because there was some shame in me that here I was, you know, in my mid-50s, divorced once again, and, you know, dating. And what, you did I believe, my perception was that men didn't want to meet 55-year-old women who had kids. That was my belief. Or so I had to lie, and I'd say, oh, yeah, well, I'm, you know, or I wouldn't talk about it. Or I'd get really defensive if a guy asked me. And so that shame part really had to be kicked in the britches, right? And I remember I was at this leadership conference in San Diego, and I just decided I'm going to speak out how old I am. This is before I met David. This is still me, you know, getting prepared to meet this great man. And I stood up in front of the 200 plus people after lying to them how old I was. And I stood up and I was crying and I said, okay, I got to come clean about something. And they're like, okay, you know, there was two things I came clean about in that meeting. One was my age. When I told them how old I was, they went, get out of here. Are you kidding? What are you taking? I'm like, you're right. You know, and then the second thing was a suicide story. And after those two revelations of secrets, I mean, I got so much love. I had so many people, you know, that proved me wrong, that I wasn't lovable because I was 60 years old, or I wasn't lovable because I've been married four times, divorced, or I wasn't lovable because I had a suicide attempt. If anything, I embraced that because they showed me. And so I remember doing, when we first did our podcast, On Your Throne, my partner, Diane Chandler, she would laugh. And actually, this is the show we had Rita Hanks on. And someone talked about age. And Diane looks at me and she goes, well, you know, I'm in my 50s. And I looked around and go, I'm 63. And it was so funny. And Rita goes, I'm 65. And we just started laughing. And we just looked at each other and go, damn, girls, you look good, you know. And it was so freeing. And that's what I think what keeps us alive and well in that self, is we embrace the truth in ourselves. I mean, I would get mixed up to people what age I told them I was. It was so pathetic. It was like, wait, you said that you were 52 and you're really, oh my God. You know, I just embraced it all. And when I did, that light came back out. And it was just almost like, you know, the universe saying, see, there's no judgment. You're the one that's judging yourself. And I thought, oh my God. And that was just one of many things that I learned with dating also, is be proud of who you are. You are enough. You are beautiful. And when you embrace that, other people will see the same.
Well, and I would also suggest that if there's a guy who's, you know, let's say for you as an example, if there's somebody out there who's the right person and you are attempting to be somebody else, yeah, the right person's never going to find you.
Oh.
So to be honest and upfront from day one is without question, because then you give the other person who's meant to be with you the chance to actually find you, rather than to sift through whatever dishonesty and or, you know, all that other stuff to get to, oh, it's that's my person.
Yeah. Although I have to tell you a little secret, though.
Well, we're not perfect.
No, this is Lauren's fault. So Lauren told me, because I had the bad guy, right? She said, you know what? You need to get on Tinder, the app. And I thought, oh God, I'm not going to go on this app. And she said, no, you live in a small town. You're going to meet a man who comes to Sun Valley in the summer for golfing, whatever, or skiing in the winter. And I thought, okay. So we're talking about importing. She's laughing. She says, yes. She says, but I want you to be safe. So we're not going to use your real name. And we're going to get a burner phone with not your real phone number, just for protection. And I said the same question. I go, yeah, but what if, you know, he meets me, my code name is Jackie. So what if he meets Jackie and, you know, what do I do? And she said, no, first phone call if you like him, second phone call you like him. And then you just say, listen, I need you to know something. You know, my name really isn't Jackie. It's my middle name. And by the way, that's not the real phone number. And David, he looked, you know, he started laughing. He goes, well, tell me why. And I told him the story, you know, of this Todd guy. And he goes, you know what? I totally understand that. And he goes, and thank you for telling me. Are there any other things? And I said, yeah, my real age. And he started laughing. He goes, okay, how old are you? What? Are you, you know, 46? And I go, oh, no. You know, and I, at the time, I think I was 61. I said, I'm 61. And he's 2 years younger than me. And he goes, what? I said, yeah. He goes, okay, anything else? And I said, no, I think that's it. We're all covered. But he laughed, and I asked Lauren, I said, what if I meet somebody who's really great, but he's going to get mad at me because I didn't tell him the truth on that? She said, if it's your guy, he's going to get it. He's going to understand it, you know, and you do some explanations of why, you know, you've chosen to do what you did. So that's why I had to laugh when you were saying about being completely open and honest in the beginning. Well, I was for 2 phone calls.
Well, and it's a process.
Yes. Yes.
And it's a process, and good job. Congratulations. That's wonderful. I hope you guys are happy.
We are. Thank you, sweetie.
Before we finish up, you brought up Own Your Throne, and I don't want to step over that because that's huge. We will have a link. This is your podcast. We'll have a link in the show notes because I want everybody to go and you know, sign up for your podcast. So explain the name Own Your Throne and what the show is about.
Well, Diane Chandler and I, who went to school with me at USM, we met, we were there for 2 years to get our master's in spiritual psychology and more importantly to heal. And so we had this great friendship, girlfriend friendship, and we always wanted to work together and do something. We thought, what can we do? So we brainstormed and we thought, you know, we're in our second chapter of life. We have reinvented, reignited, whatever you want to call it, from the first chapter of our lives. And it's exciting. And when you heal, you know, it's more exciting, more intense, you're more alive. I mean, you just own it. And we thought, okay, this is queen energy. This really is about the sage woman I was talking about. And it really is about owning your throne. Your throne represents your life. So it's interesting how some women react to the throne energy because they think most of the time they don't deserve it. You know, we had a throne in a workshop and they would stand behind it, beside it, in front of it. Nobody sat in it. And I was like, well, if you're not going to sit in it, who are you letting sit in it? Who's controlling your life? So that's where we came up. So we've been interviewing women who have amazing inspirational stories about, you know, women in their 40s and 50s and 60s after they've gotten divorced, their kids have left. They look around, it's just them. And they're like, now what? The rocking chair? It's like, no, what did you want to do that you never did? And it's never too late. You know, that's the message, is that it's never too late to make your dreams come true. And it's never too late to heal and own your throne and really do what I say God and universe put you on the earth to do.
That is the perfect place to close. Thank you, Perry. This has been wonderful. I love you to bits.
Love you too.
And everybody, go see Perry's show. This has been another episode of Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. And we will see you again next week. Mwah.
Bye, guys.
Thank you for listening to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Please sign up to join our free love family at crazysexymidlifelove.com. To get alerts to live shows, call in and ask questions, or just listen in. And ladies, don't forget to download Devin's free ebook, Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Secrets Marriage-Minded Women Need to Know. Also available at crazysexymidlifelove.com.